The following programming is sponsored by PhillyLabor.com. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause here on WWDB Talk 860. I'm J. Doc. I'm in the driver's seat for Krause, who will be calling in throughout the broadcast. We have a fantastic broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. This is about, you know, we're in the home stretch of an election, okay, and everybody knows in labor, okay, politics are a lifeline, okay, a vital part of who we are. And there's a saying that a lot of our labor leaders have, and that is if you don't have a seat at the table, you're typically on the menu. So having said that, I'm ecstatic to bring in one of our labor leaders here in Philadelphia who's no stranger to the broadcast, Joe Williams, business manager, Elevator Constructors Local 5. How are you, Joe?
I'm great, Joe. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
It's a pleasure, my friend. It's been a while, and certainly we have tons of stuff to talk about. I know this is an incredibly busy time. Elections are always busy, but this is the presidential election, okay? And so before we get into that conversation, remind our listeners who you represent and what they do.
So I'm the business manager of International Union Elevator Constructors Local 5. We install, maintain, service, repair, and test all the elevators in the Delaware Valley. We're tri-state area, northern Delaware, southern Jersey, and southeastern Pennsylvania.
And so having said that, there's, you know, likely the overwhelming majority of the elevators that people use in the high rises throughout not only the city of Philadelphia, but the surrounding regions, as you heard Joe mention, are erected by Local 5 members and at the same time maintenanced for, and kept safe by Local 5 members. So when you're going up in the elevator in a high rise building, and I do every time I go up, I have a show at Liberty One every month. And a couple of the other high-rise buildings, I think of Joe and his members, and you know, I thank them in private. So we appreciate what your members do, Joe, and what you do for them. Let's. I mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, okay, we were in the home stretch of the November 5th presidential election, okay? Simple question, what's on the line for labor in this election?
Everything is on the line, Joe. Everything for labor is on the line. In the past 4 years under President Biden and Vice President Harris, we've made tremendous gains. And if we don't win, if Vice President Harris doesn't win this election and Donald Trump wins, all our members need to do is look at Project 2025, the agenda that the far-right conservatives have set out for Trump if he wins. And one of the biggest things in that piece of, in that agenda that they put out is a national right to work. And Donald Trump has gone on record. Everybody heard him talking to Elon Musk. He wants to put a national right to work law in place. And if people don't know what a national right to work law is, it weakens and destroys our unions. And the best thing I can do for my membership right here in Philadelphia, we're a national contract. and our wages are set in that contract, but they're based on your local area. And we did a study in Local 5 with my business agents, comparing the wages of strong union locals like Local 5 in Philadelphia, Local 4 in Boston, Local 2 in Chicago, and compared them to the locals down in the South, big cities, Atlanta, Dallas, Miami. Their wages in those locals, even though they're union, where they're in right-to-work states, were an average of $15 to $20 lower than ours.
Wow.
And I don't know how else to explain what right-to-work does. It takes wages out of your pocket.
And having said that, it impacts the ability to collectively bargain. We talk about the education process, okay? And the fact of the matter is that, you know, most of the time you have a situation where, listen, a big part of our initiative is to educate our union members. Let me ask you a question, Joe, okay, because it's so important for our members. You know, what the most rank and file members understand the relationship, okay, between what you just said, their livelihood, their wages, okay, their ability to collectively bargain, and politics, and this in particular, this upcoming election?
I don't think they do, unfortunately. That's our job as labor leaders, is to educate our members on how the politics affect our livelihood. And none of us like politics. I'm not fond of it. I don't like getting involved in it, but I have to as a labor leader because it affects us directly in our livelihood. Our members don't see all the different things that happen. They don't see that the Biden administration fixed the multi-employer pension problem. You know, our pension in the elevator industry has always been one of the most highly rated pensions in the country, not just within the unions, but all retirement plans. The IUEC pension plan has always been at the very top. Donald Trump had a chance to fix the multi-employer pension problem. Without getting into a whole lot of detail, there were some issues in that, and the insurance, the PBGC, which is like the FDIC for banks, needed to be funded and corrected because some pensions were having problems and going bankrupt, and that whole plan was going to fall apart. The Republicans wanted to tax all pensions to bail this out and limit what a healthy pension could do. And the long and short of it is the Republican plan would have cost the IUEC pension alone $26 million a year. When Biden fixed it, we pay $1.8 million a year. And we were able to give our members a big increase this year.
And having said that, you know, you mentioned, you know, the last 4 years, okay? And situations like that, okay? And situations like that, okay? One of the things that's important is to understand that labor's never been more popular than we are, right? You know, or it hasn't been this popular in decades. Okay, the general public pro labor. Okay, obviously a lot of young people. Okay, at working at a lot of these places that typically pay slave labor wages. Okay, are organizing. Young people want to join unions. Okay, that's on the line, right, Joe?
Yes, it is, and the Biden administration is pushing the PROS Act that will make it easier to join a union. Donald Trump and Project 25 want to form company unions, eliminate organized labor, eliminate the Department of Labor, and put company unions in place. We'd be going back to when the coal mine companies ran the company store. That's what they think unionism is, and that's what they want to bring us back to. That kind of stuff is at stake in this election.
So when we talk about, you know, the importance of unions contributing, okay, because we talk about educating young people, okay, on the importance of our elections, but also in contributing to campaigns, the need to support the campaigns on both sides of the aisle sometimes. Labor is not a political party. We support those those candidates who support us, but also talk about the importance of us getting in involved in the process. Yeah, it impacts us. But I've talked to young union members, and they can't figure out why we're contributing to campaigns. Okay, talk about that.
We have to get involved. And we have to contribute to the campaigns. We don't ask for a lot of money, and we're a small union, and we don't have a huge PAC fund. But we don't just back Democrats. We really don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. It just so happens that the Democrats have a much better voting record in favor of unions. But just the other night, all the building trades unions were at a fundraiser. I won't get into names, but we were at for a Republican state representative. So because that representative works for her constituents, protects labor, and makes sure that the laws and regulations that are going to protect workers and unions stay in place. We back that candidate. People that are pro-labor and pro-worker, that's who we back.
No question. I remember when Donald Trump won the election, we used to do the labor show here at the station on Wednesdays. Okay, and so obviously the election was on a Tuesday, and in the morning that our initial guests, you know, they were so shocked they couldn't come on. But we had Pat Iding, we had John Dougherty, and Rick Blumendale. We needed our leaders at that time, and I'll never forget what Rick Blumendale said. And that was, we are not a political party. We support those who support us. Okay, and that the remark you just made is so important. Okay, another thing, you know, and that is incredibly important, obviously, is understanding and being educated on how the candidates that you are voting impact your livelihood. For example, the presidency impacts the Supreme Court. Okay, and so I've heard, you know, you hear young union members, but all union at all ages talk about how they're going to vote in a particular way, okay, you know, maybe for Trump. They are, whether they like it or not, voting against their economic interest. And it's such a, which is their right, no question. But my thought process is they ought to know exactly that. And when you talk about picking the Supreme Court, that's what happens, you know, when you vote for president, when you talk about the NLRB, okay, where labor decisions occur, those are all, situations that occur and are impacted by the election of the president of the United States. We talk about not being educated enough in regards to voting for president and but also understanding why and understanding how it impacts you. How important is that? And what are we doing to the best of our ability to get that point across to our members, some who may stand in our day rooms on the morning, after an election, or how about 2 years after an election when there's no work and they can't figure out why there's no work, okay? But and they're not equating the fact that they voted for the other guy who is voting against them every day in Washington.
It's a tough job to educate our members about the elections and the policies that different candidates represent. I mean, one of the things that we do, and all the unions do it, is the AFL-CIO is a great resource. Our members should go onto their websites and look at the information the AFL-CIO is putting out there. They do a report card on all the different candidates and representatives, from U.S. senators all the way down to school board members. You can find out how they voted when it came to labor. Kamala Harris has a 98% voting record in favor of labor. Tim Walz has a 93% voting record in favor of labor issues. J.D. Vance, 0%. And you brought up the NLRB. When Donald Trump got in office, he put in place as the chief general counsel of the NLRB, a guy named Peter Robb. Now, most of our members are rank and file members. That doesn't mean anything to them. Oh yeah, he's just a lawyer. What does he know? Okay, he's a lawyer. He's going to do his job. Peter Robb has a long history of being a union busting lawyer, attorney. His job is breaking up unions. Donald Trump put him in charge of the NLRB, the National Labor Relations Board, where we go to settle labor disputes, whether it's a jurisdictional dispute with another union or whether it's with a general contractor or a signatory contractor that's violating contracts or an organizing campaign. It ends up in front of the NLRB.
Yeah,
Kamala Harris broke the tie vote and voted to remove the anti-union attorney and put in a labor-friendly director, general counsel for the NLRB. That means we're going to get more favorable decisions when we have disputes in whatever labor dispute we have when we end up in front of the NLRB. And look, the Supreme Court not only affects decisions that are made for labor, it affects everything in your life. You know, all the issues that we all care about. When you get those people that are ultra right-wing conservatives, you better think about how that's going to affect not only your life, your kids' life, and your grandkids' lives.
Absolutely,
because
Joe.
They're in there for the rest of their lives.
And this is why educating people and having understanding people understand that their vote, should be aligned with their interests. And whatever those interests are, be educated on them. And of course, as labor union members, our economic interests are always at a priority, as well as our families. Having said that, before we go, Joe, I want to talk about, because our apprentice programs are the absolute lifeblood of our craftsmanship. You guys up at Local 5 have a new training center. Before we go, talk about that, if you would.
So, yes, the education and training of our apprentices and our members is key to protecting our wages, which even that's tied to politics, because Donald Trump is trying to open up apprenticeships and lower the standards for apprenticeships across the board, not just in construction, but calling company training apprenticeships.
Sure.
He wants to open that up, and that just lowers the standards, which weakens us. But I'm glad you brought up our new training center. So we have a saying in Local 5, education and training is the difference between union and non-union. It's the difference between high wages and low wages. So we have focused in, we spend a lot of money, our companies and our members contribute a lot of money into our apprenticeship program. So we have taken our union hall. It's opened up now. The last piece, the elevator is going in. We built a state-of-the-art training center with new technology, 6 brand new welding booths, so all of our apprentices and mechanics can become certified welders. We've got hands-on training. We have an actual working escalator in the facility. We'll have one full elevator that our members can train on, another blank shaft that we can learn hydraulic elevators on, 4 new classrooms with touchscreen smart TVs and everything state of the art. All of our apprentices work off of laptops. No more carrying the big binders around like we used to have to do. It's all in-house under one roof. It's the beautiful training center, and we're looking to have a grand opening. We hope we can get you and Krause up there when we do the grand opening to show off our new training.
Can't wait.
We're really proud of it.
Can't wait. That sounds fantastic. One of the great things about, our trades, especially our building trades, obviously, is the education, okay, that the apprentices get, okay? It really is the advantage we have, because you can get a trained craftsman, okay, from Local 5, okay, any day of the week, and our apprentices are getting educations that you know are valued at college educations. Okay, and so congratulations on that, Joe. Obviously, congratulations to your members, and we can't wait to get there. You just say the word, like Krause says. The answer is yes. What's the question? We'll be there for that grand opening. Can't wait. And again, thanks so much for joining us and for everything you do for your members, my friend, and for our labor community. You know, on behalf of me and Krause, because we really appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Our pleasure. That's Joe Williams, business manager, Elevator Constructors Local 5. We're going to have more from the Labor Show with Jay Dot and Krause after the break.
First chartered in 1903, Steamfitters Local 420 has been constructing and installing mechanical systems throughout the Delaware Valley for over a century. United by excellence, this local is proud to have worked on projects such as the Sun Oil Refineries, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and the stadiums for all our Philly teams. From helmets to hard hats, Local 420 represents the history of Philadelphia. Steamfitters Local 420, Jim Snell, business manager.
Sprinkler Fitters Local 692 represents a storied history and heritage of steam fitters, plumbers, and gas fitters dating back to the late 1800s and continues today to thrive into the 21st century. Local 692 is a highly trained group of skilled individuals. Local 692 represents the Philadelphia building trades and provides excellence completing the job on time, under budget. Local 692, a proud member of the Philadelphia Union community. Wayne Miller, business manager.
There are so many choices when it comes to selecting the right financial institution. Start with the Philadelphia Federal Credit Union. We're right here in your city. We're also the official credit union of Temple University, and anyone who lives, works, worships, and studies in Philadelphia can open an account with convenient locations throughout our city of brotherly love. Also online at pfcu.com with free online and mobile banking. We're not here for our profit, here for yours. Federally insured by NCUA.
Plumbers Local 690 proudly promotes, supports, and endorses the belief plumbers protect the health of the nation. The highly skilled workers of Plumbers Local 690 specialize in commercial and residential work. Plumbers Local 690 workers work on stadium projects and the largest corporate projects and your residential property. Plumbers Local 690, George P. Graham, business manager. God bless America.
Hey everyone, this is Krause of Saturday Night Live with Philly Labor, proudly presented by Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard. Buying your next car online is just a call, click, or email away. Let Jim Stevenson handle your union family's next purchase right from the convenience of your home. Email Jim right now at jstevenson@chapmanautogroup.com. Remember, if you're a member of the building trades, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000, option number 6. If your union is a member of the AFL-CIO, contact Jim Stevenson at 215-698-7000. Buy your next vehicle or lease your fleet right now online from the only man in Philadelphia that has supported every union effort with unconditional effort. Jim Stevenson of Chapman Ford on the Boulevard says, union yes. Get the Stevenson difference. He supports and drives the union community.
IATSE, the International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees. What it means is simple. Every large-scale event in the city of Philadelphia on the Parkway, at the Wells Fargo Center, the Convention Center, or in the Kimmel Center is created and executed by IATSE. These dedicated union members proudly serve the city of Philadelphia and the millions of people that are directly affected by their work. IATSE Local Number 8, Mike Barnes, President and Business Manager.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Labor Show with Jay Dot and Krause on WWDB Talk 860. Shout out to Tyler, our producer. This is Jay Dot in the driver's seat for Joe Krause, who is on location somewhere in the great state of Pennsylvania. I'm ecstatic. This is our pre-election broadcast, one of them. We're going to be doing a number of them. We're down a home stretch of this election, okay? And we want to shout out to Joe Williams. Okay, for business manager, Elevator Constructors Local 5 for being our leadoff guest, and I'm ecstatic to bring into the program Lisa Marie Dealey, Philadelphia City Commissioner. How are you, Lisa?
I'm great, Joe. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. You know, lots going on. I know you and your crew there are not busy at all down in this home.
Oh, no. You know, we're just watching the weather.
Yeah, just watching the weather.
Nothing going on here. Nothing to see here.
Exactly. You know, we just did a recent broadcast the other day, but we're going to cover a lot of the same issues and amp it up a little, obviously, for the live labor show. So, you know, Lise, I'd like you to tell our listeners, okay? And it's a great story. And we've talked about a lot of, like, you're in, you know, the, you know, you are, and the other commissioners, okay, are, you know, like literally in the bullseye, okay? You're on the national stage, okay? But I want people to understand who you are and tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are, okay? Talk about, you know, the direction, you know, being a part of the process, even when you were a child going to the polls, and how this has been, you know, a calling for you since you were a little girl.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, so, you know, I'm 58, and believe it or not, when I was a young girl, I was one of the only kids in my class that came from a single-parent home. And my mom was pretty active politically in her neighborhood. She was a committee person. So every election, I would go with my mom to the local barbershop where we voted. And I would sit, we had that, it was one of those old, you know, barbershops with the square leather chairs.
Yep.
That were on like a round dais, you know, so the barber could spin the chair. As a young child, I would sit in that chair and I would spin and spin all for hours, all election day. Clearly, I was just taking it all in, and it got in my veins and in my bones and eventually, you know, propelled me to this job, which, quite honestly, I could have never expected would turn into what it has, you know, being on a global stage and, you know, being interviewed internationally. It's just been, it's been more than I could ever thought it would ever be, you know, and a lot of that is good, but a lot of that is really sad, because what has happened since I've been elected is that people are choosing to believe, you know, things that are just not true about the election process.
Well,
not only in Philadelphia, but throughout the country.
No question. And when you look at it, think about it. Philadelphia, the way Philadelphia goes, we're the biggest city in the state of Pennsylvania, in the Commonwealth. Okay. And so, you know, we're a consequential state. Okay. So this is way everything trickles. Okay. When it comes to the elections and, but one of the things that I sensed, okay, and in our conversation, our recent conversation, in this, you know, we talked about never imagining, obviously, that this would be the state of things, okay, having a target on your back and the other commissioners, okay, and doing, and the reason you got into this, okay, was, you know, the pride to help people execute their constitutional right, okay? Talk about that pride, okay?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So the reason why I got into this is because I watched my mom do it for so long, and then I watched, you know, the people in my community come together, work the polls on election day. I became a judge of elections eventually. I mean, there is so much pride in voting, and especially in-person voting. You know, I always tell people, voting in person in Philadelphia is a lot like Tasty Cake and Rocky. It's such a Philadelphia thing. And I just really wanted to be a part of that, to be a part of that community. You know, when I first took this job on, it was a lot like a wedding planner. You know, you knew you had the date. We knew what the date was. You knew where you were going with the voting machine. So you had the date. You had the location. You knew what you needed to bring. We brought it. We held the wedding or the election day, and we took the machines back. We counted the votes, and the election was over. There was, you know, the contest was determined. Now here we are, all these years later, and what we are doing in Philadelphia is we are running three elections simultaneously. We're running an in-person election at 1,703 precincts throughout the city. We're running a mail ballot election where people are getting mail-in ballots at their houses. And we're running an election at the satellite offices, of which we're opening throughout the city in advance of the November election. But they will be permanent locations. They are not temporary just for this election.
And so obviously, the presidential election is the biggest operation. Talk about how many workers you have working throughout the region.
So we have over 9,000. We have 8,000. We have poll workers that are working. We have temporary people that come and work. We have our own staff. We rely on, and we're very grateful for the support we get from every city department comes in and pitches in. It is a citywide event, Election Day in the city of Philadelphia. It's a citywide event. Everybody's involved, police, streets, water, emergency management, all the offices, come in and lend a hand. And we couldn't get it done without the help of every department in the city. It really does chip in for Election Day, every election to some degree. But certainly for this November election, we are relying heavily on temporary staff, surge staff, other city departments, and always our friends and neighbors who work the polls for us on Election Day.
And when you talk about that, okay, a big part of what you and the other commissioners do is educate, and this is a year-round thing, educate the voters, okay, on, okay, where their polling places are, the process. Talk about that commitment to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to vote, no matter how they, are able to do it. Talk about that priority as a city commissioner.
Yeah, so that's the number one job for, in my mind. The number one job is to make sure that I have this job and people know what my job is. My job is to administer elections in Philadelphia and to make you know about it. So, and to make sure that every eligible voter is voting in Philadelphia, right? Has everything they need to be a voter. So we have a great website, Joe, vote.phila.gov, that I encourage everybody to go on for everything election related. It's vote.phila.gov, or you can call us at 215-686-VOTE. But we are all over the city. We're in schools, we're at senior centers, we're in civic associations. We are all over the city teaching and preaching about the importance of everybody's vote.
And so having said that, mentioned, obviously polling places, they can find all that, okay, at that website. But let's also talk about any upcoming deadlines, voter registration, mail-in ballots, all those things. Where are we with any deadlines people should know about?
So for the November 5th election, the last day to register to vote is Monday, October the 21st. So you have to be registered by midnight on October 21st. If you want to make any change to your voter registration, change your name, change your address, change your party, any changes to your voter registration or new voter registration, the deadline for that is Monday, October 21st. If you know somebody that is 18 or will be 18 on or before November the 5th, you want to get them registered before October 21st. October 21st is the deadline to register. If you want to vote by mail, you think you might want to vote by mail, if you want a mail ballot for the November election, the last day to apply for a mail-in ballot is Tuesday, October 29th. So we want to make sure that everybody is registered, and if they want to vote by mail, they get their application back to us in time. All these deadlines, the availability of our satellite offices, our Dropbox locations, everything you need to know. Even the sample ballots are now available on our website. So a voter can go to our website and type in their address and they could see their sample ballot, whether they're voting by mail or whether they're voting in person. The machine ballot as well as the mail ballot, everything can be seen on our website so you can take a look at it before Election Day. So you have an idea if you're voting in person, or you can take a look at the mail ballot before it gets to your house. The ballots are now available on our website for every voter. You type in your address, and you can see your ballot.
So having said that, I this is something that you're very passionate about talking about. Now, we only have a couple more minutes, and we really appreciate your time. The down ballot, okay? It's a big presidential election, okay? And obviously, that's the major draw across the country, and obviously, it's got us all consumed all 24/7. But as you and I spoke about previously, the importance of the down ballot can't be overstated. Talk about that, and also some experiences in the past where people just came in, voted for the presidency, and left a lot on the table.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for bringing that up. You know, of course, everybody's talking about the presidential race, and absolutely, it does have consequences for the entire world. But there are real live consequences and real life reasons for people to vote down that whole ballot. You have the United States Senate. It's a 6-year term. So you want to make sure that you're invested in that, you know, so you want to vote that. You want to vote for your congressperson. These statewide offices, the attorney general, auditor general, treasurer, they all need to be voted on too. And then when you get down to the bottom, you have your state representatives and state senators. And these guys and girls, you see them, you know, at church, you see them at the store around the corner. Their offices are probably in walking distance to your house. We want to make sure that people recognize and realize that their offices are also on the ballot. There is more on the ballot than just the presidential race. So, you know, in 2020, 41,598 Philadelphia voters skipped the treasurer's race. And that race, that margin of victory was just 52,000. So 41,000 people in Philadelphia didn't vote for treasurer, and the treasurer margin of victory for the state was 52,000. So that goes to show you how important every Philadelphia vote is, but even so, how much more important it is to get the most for your vote and vote down the ballot.
Absolutely. Let's do this. If you will, before you go, remind our listeners once again, okay, of that website, okay, where they can get all the information about their polling places and any information they need to know for the upcoming election, including deadlines.
Sure. So the last day to register to vote is October 21st. The last day for a mail-in ballot is October 29th. Election day is November the 5th, and all this information and everything you need to know can be found at votes.phila.gov.
Awesome. Lisa Marie Dealy, obviously Philadelphia City Commissioner, we really appreciate your time. We appreciate the job you do. We know it's under incredible pressure. Okay, it's been a pleasure for me to introduce you to people that don't know you. And one of the things that people really have to do is have confidence in their vote. And we've seen the turmoil. We've seen, you and I have talked about the transparency process. Okay, this is a bipartisan board, correct?
Yes, Joe. We have two, a majority party and one minority party.
So
we are a bipartisan board. And when we begin election day, everything is live streamed from our processing center, so people can go on that website and go onto our YouTube page, and they can see the whole process live streamed once we start motoring through election day.
And you have paper ballots also, right? So there's a checks and balances in the process, right?
Absolutely, our voting machines come with a voter verifiable paper ballot. So every vote that's cast on the voting system, the voter has an opportunity to verify that vote on a paper ballot as well.
Awesome. Well, listen, Lisa, we thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate what you do every day. Lisa Marie Dealy, Philadelphia City Commissioner, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks so much for joining us, Lisa.
Thanks, Joe.
Fantastic. We're going to have more from The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause in just a minute.
This is Wendell Young, president of UFCW Local 1776.
We proudly represent nearly 35,000 members who serve their communities at meatpacking and food processing plants, nursing homes, manufacturing plants, grocery stores, our fine wine and good spirit stores, and in the medical cannabis industry, among others. Our members earn fair wages and good benefits. We give workers a voice in their workplace. To learn more about our union, please visit UFCW1776.org.
consider a career with the International Brotherhood of Boilermakers. As a Boilermaker apprentice, you'll earn while you learn. We offer excellent wages and benefits, and as part of our no-cost, hands-on apprenticeship program, you'll learn from the best in state-of-the-art training centers and on the job. Become a union Boilermaker and get on your way to a great career.
Visit Boilermakers.org or call 844-IBB-WELD.
Hi, this is Mark Lynch, business manager, IBEW, Local 98. Our members are the best educated, best trained electricians and technicians in the construction industry. Our electrical contractor partners do the job right. The first time, every time, safely, on time, and on budget. Find out why we're the best in the business. Visit us at www.IBEW98.org.
Welcome to Pond Lehocky, the largest workers' compensation law firm in Pennsylvania. With over 250 years of combined courtroom experience, we've helped over 100,000 injured and disabled workers obtain benefits, as well as some of the biggest settlements in the state. Even better, Pond Lehocky doesn't charge a dime until you win. If you've been injured at work, give Pond Lehocky a call.
The great city of Philadelphia and its incredible skyline are being built in part by the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. And did you know schools, libraries, and other public buildings you visit were built with help from the sheet metal workers? Support the labor movement in Pennsylvania and hire a member of the sheet metal workers, Local Union 19. Their history dates back to the 1800s, serving 23 counties in Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Sheet metal workers, Local Union 19, Brian Bush, business manager. Visit them on the web at smwlu19.org.
Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly skilled. Ironworkers Local 401 members are highly trained. Ironworkers Local 401 members execute jobs that require structural steel, concrete structures, towers, and the highest part of a building you can see that is currently under construction. Ironworkers Local 401, a proud member of the Philadelphia Building Trades. Say thanks to a member of Ironworkers Local 401, Kevin Boyle, business manager.
My name is Joe Williams, business manager of Elevator Constructors Local 5. Every day, countless lives are devastated in our country at the hands of the opioid epidemic. Whether sparked by a pain-related work injury or other issues, many of those afflicted are family members, friends, and coworkers. It may even be you in desperate need of help. No one is immune to the effects of this terrible disease. If you or someone you know or love is suffering from addiction to opioids or other substances, don't wait another day to reach out to someone and seek help. Tell a friend, a family member, or a professional now and get the support you need like your life depends on it, because it does. Remember, it's not where you start the race that counts, it's that you finish it that matters most. I'm Joe Williams of Elevator Constructors Local 5. I'm a labor leader and labor cares.
Navigating group Medicare health plans can be overwhelming. Our friends at Labor First, a division of Retiree First, work with plan sponsors to design and manage Medicare plans for union retirees, keeping costs low without compromising member experience. Retirees can keep their retirement stress-free by calling a dedicated advocate who will guide them through their health plans and answer their questions. Preserve the health benefits that retirees deserve at RetireeFirst.com.
District Council 33 President Ernest Garrett and the entire executive board would like to thank you, the members of APSME DC 33. Their mission is simple. They consistently fight for and secure the best wages, benefits, and working conditions for members. And they stand ready in support of public service workers' rights and benefits and hold politicians accountable for their actions. District Council 33, Ernest Garrett, President.
CWA District 213 serving Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Virginia, and West Virginia proudly presents The Labor Show with Jadock and Krause and The Labor and Energy Show, Labor's weekly live radio programs. CWA members are standing up for our communities and fighting to protect the rights of all workers to speak up on the job without fear of retaliation and to make it easier to join unions and bargain fair contracts. We are CWA strong and union strong. Mike Davis, District Vice President.
We are District Council 21. We're the brothers and sisters building the city of brotherly love. We're bringing the highest standards of training, safety, and quality to every project, from Center City to the Jersey Shore. We're rebuilding the region's infrastructure and giving back to our communities, all while earning industry-leading wages and benefits. We're proud of where we're from and where we're going.
To learn more, go to dc21.org. Joe Ashdale, Business Manager.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Labor Show with J. Dot and Krause here on WWDB Talk 860. Shout out to Tyler, our producer. I'm ecstatic to bring in Aaron Hoffman, who is the Director of Training and Education at the Fittising Trades Institute. Aaron, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Glad to have you on the show. For people who may not be familiar, Aaron produced our Women in Trade segments that we had this past December and January, and certainly very impacting segments and shows. But I want to bring Aaron in. And first, I wanted to, if you would, Aaron, remind our listeners a little bit about what the finishing trades are.
Sure. So the Finishing Trades Institute of the Mid-Atlantic region is the training provider for DC 21. We host a plethora of crafts under one roof. We have commercial painters, industrial bridge painters, drywall finishers, and glazers, which do architectural metal and glass.
And so your position as the Director of Training and Education, okay, that's basically the apprentice program, correct?
Yes. So we are a registered apprenticeship program, and we are serving almost the entire state of Pennsylvania and the entire state of New Jersey.
And so, you know, right now, one of the things we talked about, and I, you know, certainly when I think about it, okay, and so even I got even really emotional when we talked about, you know, the women in trade segments and the opportunities. But let's. We're gonna talk a little election, no question, okay, and on some of the important issues that are impacting women and our women in the trades. But let's cover a little bit of this since, you know, we have the floor. The opportunities for women in labor, more, you know, now than ever before. But talk about them, okay, because there are some young ladies out there right now listening to this broadcast that may not be familiar with them and didn't even know they existed.
Sure. So, you know, women make up a huge, percentage of our workforce. But in construction and in organized labor, they only make up 3.9%. And so we are really working hard to move that dial to let, you know, young girls and women know about the opportunities that exist in the Philadelphia Union Building Trades for them. These are opportunities where, you know, one of the only industries where women make equal pay to men.
Okay. And can you hear me right now?
Yes.
Okay. So are unions actually actively seeking women? You know, you would at this, you know, there were stereotypes decades and decades ago that may have, you know, applied and were likely correct that it was not, you know, unions were shut off to minorities and women and certainly did not, at least didn't prioritize them. But times have changed drastically. Talk about the fact that that unions are seeking women, trade unions. We're talking about construction trade unions are actually outreaching for women to be a part of their unions.
Absolutely. We are so intentional about hiring women. It's literally, you know, like our mission. And not only at the finishing trades, but throughout the Philadelphia Union Building Trades, we have programs like WINC, Women in Non-Traditional Careers, where women get opportunities to get to see all of the Philadelphia Union Building Trades. as well as programs like Rosie's Girls, hosted at the Electricians Local 98 by Tila Amin, who's introducing young school-age girls to the trades. And so that dial that we talk about, it is absolutely moving. There are more and more women at the table. For me, I'm a commercial painter by trade. And so my experience has been like 19 years ago, you know, there was only two women that came and were able to collect a full pension. Before me, there was a lot of women that had came, but not many that had stayed. And today, when you walk into a painter's local 2011 union meeting, half of the tables in the room are women.
Awesome.
And so it's like amazing.
And so when you talk about art, for young ladies out there, you know, listening, are there any qualifications that anybody, you know, that women out there, and they're likely the same for men, but what are the qualifications for a young woman to apply to be a part of, you talk about WINC, Women in Non-Traditional Careers, okay, which is a pre-apprentice program to our apprentice programs, but also the apprentice programs themselves. Any special qualifications?
Well, it's the same qualifications that a man would have to possess, and that's that you have a driver's license, that you can provide a clean urine, and that you're ready and available for work. And, you know, the rest we learn through these apprenticeship programs. So you're essentially earning as you're learning. There's no tuition. There's no fee to receive this training. And you're on the job working for any one of the signatory contractors. For, you know, the trade of your choice that you enter. So, you know, those are the qualifications. And I like to say, like, these jobs, you know, they may not be for every girl, but they are for any girl.
Wow. I mean, and that's, and this is, you know, I'm going to spit fire because we only have a few minutes, but what are the benefits? Okay. If you were pitching, young women, okay. And of being in a union and getting an apprenticeship.
Oh, Joe, that's, for me, that's easy. So prior to being in the trades, I lived a completely different life. One where, like, I didn't know if all of my utilities were going to be on at the same time. I didn't have health coverage. I didn't know if I was coming or going. You know, I worked as a barmaid. And today, because I'm a member of this union, I not only have this excellent envelope pay, which, you know, absolutely pays all of my bills and then some, but I also have, you know, this fringe package, which is made up of, you know, excellent health and welfare benefits for me and all my children, a pension, an annuity, two annuities, a local annuity and an international annuity. I have a health reimbursement account. I have a vacation check. I have so many things to look forward to that, you know, my union has like set aside for me, and the fact that I'm going to be able to retire at a young age, you know, and like I look forward to that. And I always say, and I say this in the kindest way possible, but I have a really, really great husband, and you know, I want him, but this job has been the difference of that I don't need him.
Right.
And so that would be my pitch to any woman, is that, like, you know, you can earn a family sustaining wage, and just the rewards of, like, the pride that we get in our work is like second to none. So you get to drive through the city of Philadelphia and all the surrounding regions, and you literally get to point to buildings and establishments and, like, places that we visit, like Children's Hospital and the Comcast building. And you are literally a part of that project. And for me, there's nothing better.
And let's take about 30 seconds, because, you know, it could take, for me, I like talking about this 24/7, but you've said this many times, the apprenticeships, you earn while you learn. There's no out-of-pocket cost, okay? And you're getting a college education, okay? And for a young girl who may not think college is for her, and sees a possibility with this, it's literally a free education, no college debt. Talk about it.
Yeah, there's no debt. I mean, you're going to become completely well-versed in your craft. You're going to know exactly what to do, not only what to do and how to do your trade, but leadership skills and how to run a job site, how to read blueprints. There's absolutely no debt to you. You're going to be earning The areas, wages, and standards throughout each year of your apprenticeship program. And depending upon which trade that you're in, you know, we have raises to look forward to until you top out and become a journeyman or a mechanic. And, you know, like it's and in addition to that, many of the area's apprenticeship programs are also what we call college accredited. So oftentimes you're not only learning, becoming completely well-versed within that craft, but you're also leaving with a college degree and you got all of it for free.
Incredible.
So it's awesome.
So let's do this. How much time do we got? I'm talking to Tyler, our producer. We got about 2 minutes, so we're not really going to be able to get into the political conversation. So I'm going to give you a rain check for that because we have a lot to talk about there. But how would young women listening to this broadcast, okay, find out? Is there a website? How can they learn more about where to, you talk about WINC or to get into these labor union programs. How can they find out about them?
Sure. So women can visit womenbuildpa.org and find out more information about for aspiring tradeswomen, current tradeswomen. They can find out how to apply for the orientation sessions for WINC, Women in Non-Traditional Careers. They can also visit Local 98's website for more information about Rosie's Girls. There's apprentice.org, which will tell you about all of, you know, the building trades and the windows of opportunity to get in. But I also still believe that the most invaluable resource that we have in the city of Philadelphia is Councilwoman Catherine Gilmore Richardson's trade book, which is available not only in a paper copy and from her office at City Hall that anybody can pick up at any time, or in a digital version online. And that's just going to give you insight as to, you know, all of these different calendars and application dates, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, listen, Erin, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program and for the work that you do every day and representing women in the trades. We left the whole political and election conversation on the table for next time. That's Erin O'Brien Hoffman, ladies and gentlemen. That's the Director of Training and Education for the Finishing Trades. Thanks for joining us, Erin.
Thank you, Joe.
Fantastic. Listen, I want to thank everybody for joining us here on the Labor Show with J. Dot and Krause. I want to thank our guests, Joe Williams, Erin Hoffman, and I can tell you this, you know, Lisa Marie Dealey and the work that she does on a daily basis. For Joe Krause and our producer Tyler and everybody in the labor union community, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for joining us, everybody.